Well, hello there. I'm Wes Christie. I work here. Yes, I know it's been a while since you see me behind this pulpit. 2 months to be precise, so I thought it would be a good idea for me to reintroduce myself to you. But seriously, I do want to thank all those who faithfully preached in my stead during the months of June and July, most of whom, if you can believe it, are a part of this church. What a great gift that is. And yes, my family and I were able to take a couple of vacations, a short one to Texas, and then another longer one to California. But for the most part, it's been a summer of planning and gearing up for the fall. I would like to say, however, that one of the highlights of my summer was teaching a 5-week class on how to handle Scripture with care. And I'm thrilled to announce that we averaged almost 25 people a week, all of whom were quite eager to work through the intricacies of such an important and sacred task. It was very fruitful, if not also a stretching experience. The operating metaphor we ended up using in this class for how we engage the text was one that felt new and maybe even a bit awkward for many. It was the metaphor of wrestling. To hear the Scriptures, yes, and to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, of course, but also to enter into a dialogue with them, to ask questions, even to push back at times, to wrestle with the text. Are we even allowed to do that? I don't know about you, but growing up, wrestling was not the metaphor of choice for many things in the Christian life. Whether it was wrestling with the Scriptures, or wrestling with one's faith, or much less wrestling with God Himself. No, don't go there, because a strong Christian faith must be a settled faith, one that is certain and for sure. And a good Christian person is one who doesn't ask a lot of questions, but rather quietly submits without reservation, cool, calm, and collective, even confident. I imagine I'm not alone here. Many of us were raised this way. Many of us continue to think this way. It's why we tend to pray for those who are struggling in their faith, because we tend to think there must be something wrong with them. Because we've been led to believe that wrestling is a symptom of some sort of spiritual deficit or disease, which explains why we so often choose to reveal, we so often choose not to reveal our struggles to others, don't we? Our questions, our doubts, our fears, because we sure don't want to be thought of as spiritually shaky or unsure. Now, do we? It's a curious thing, then, when we come upon these stories in the Bible, like the one from our Old Testament reading today. Stories of struggle, of wrestling with God, that they tend to catch us off guard. We're not used to conceiving of our faith in this strange way. And what's even more surprising about this particular story of Jacob's nocturnal wrestling match is that he's not even the one who initiates it. It's as if God has been lying in hiding, just waiting for that perfect moment late at night when Jacob is all alone, when all of a sudden God leaps off the ring ropes in a diving attack, tackling Jacob to the ground, and off they go. Boy, if there had been a crowd gathered, they would have gone wild. I wonder if you can relate. Has anything like this ever happened to you? A tumbling to the ground, and you can't help but to fight back and wrestle with God Himself. I'm sure it has for the most of us. Is there not a more relatable episode in all of Scripture? Or think about what happened to Job. how his life completely bottomed out, how he lost everything, his family, his livelihood, his health, and how after a bit of wrestling with his friends, he ultimately demands a fight with whom? With God himself. Let's get ready to rumble. Or think about those Psalms of Lament, the largest category of psalm there is. Not songs of praise, not tunes of thanksgiving, but rather cries of complaint, like the one we read today from Psalm 17. Hear what is right, O Lord. Hear my complaint against you and hearken to my prayer. That's actually one of the more timid Psalms of Lament. There are many others that are much more contentious and raw in their approach. Or think about the Syrophoenician woman who is quick to argue with Jesus. But Lord, she says, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's tables. And it's this wrestling that Jesus actually commends. He says, woman, how great is your faith that you would wrestle with me. Even our gospel reading today, it seems to me at least that Jesus is enticing his disciples into a struggle. The disciples recommend sending the crowds away. I mean, it's late, the sun is near its setting. They need to go back to the villages and buy some food for themselves. Seems reasonable. But instead, Jesus gives them this odd instruction. They need not go away, he says. No, you give them something to eat. This crowd of thousands upon thousands, what is he doing? What is he even suggesting? You can't help but feel the tension. Oh my goodness, so what about Jesus on the night that he was betrayed? Think about he wrestled with the Father, sweats of blood, tears of agony. Take this cup away from me, he cries. I mean, these stories aren't hiding in the pages of Scripture. They're right there in front of us. Stories of God's faithful people arguing with him, lamenting, pleading, doubting, wrestling with God, not because they lack faith, but because they trust God enough to bring their whole selves to the game. My friends, the mistake is not the wrestling with God. The mistake is not to wrestle with God in the first place. The mistake is apathy. It's walking away and giving yourself over to your own devices and desires. That's the mistake. And I suppose Jacob could have taken that route. He could have given up the fight at any hour throughout that night, but he doesn't. Instead, the text says it is his assailant who asked him to do just that, to give up the fight. Stop it. Let me go, he says, for the day is breaking. And that's when Jacob replies with words that each and every one of us needs to hear right now and inwardly digest. He says, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Those, my friends, are the words of a God wrestler, of someone desperate for encounter, hungry for meaning, longing for direction, aching for God to do something. I will not let you go unless you bless me. Has there ever been a bolder prayer prayed in all of Scripture? No, God, I will not give up this fight, this back and forth, this pain and inner turmoil and soul searching. No, I'm not going to pretend everything is fine. I'm not going to suppress my questions and my complaints. I will not let you go until you bless me, until you touch me, until you heal me, or injure me for that matter. Until you do a work in my heart, until you show me the way forward, until you do something, for I have nowhere else to turn. My goodness, to think that this kind of wrestling with God is antithetical to the Christian faith, what a tragedy. It might just be at the very heart of the Christian faith. For in response to Jacob's ultimatum, the man whom Jacob has pinned down to the ground somehow spits out this question. He says, "What is your name? What are you all about?" And Jacob says, "I am the heel catcher." For that's what his name actually means. It means supplanter, deceiver, schemer. That's how Jacob has gotten by with his life up until this point, grabbing the heel of his twin brother Esau at birth, supplanting Esau's birthright when his brother was in a desperate situation, deceiving his father, Isaac, for the family blessing that was rightly due his older brother, and finally, scheming to outwit his father-in-law Laban for all of the livestock. Yes, that's my name. My name is Jacob. To which the man replies, and here we begin to see the very blessing Jacob is asking for. The man says, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have wrestled with God and prevailed." What? The father of the 12 tribes? The progenitor of the Jewish people, the name that will now be used to identify the people of God, is this Israel, the one who strives with God, the one who struggles with him, the one who wrestles with the divine? Yes. And that's because this is at the very heart of who we are called to be as the people of God. You and I both are each given the name God Wrestler. Personally, I have found that the Christian life is a mixed bag between resting in God and wrestling with God. And my friends, resting in God is great, but I have discovered that my life with God always seems to grow the most when I wrestle, when I refuse to let him go until he blesses me. When Jesus says, "Come to me and I will give you rest," that's true, and it's a lovely promise to hold on to. And yet, at the same time, Jesus answers almost every question with a question, doesn't he? And he's quick to upend the tables of our settled religious systems, isn't he? He demands that the rich and the well-off give up their pursuits of happiness. He takes exception with our theological assumptions. He provokes our religious leaders. And then he challenges us to give up our entire lives to become his followers. My friends, if these aren't invitations to a wrestling match, I don't know what is. And so I would encourage you, whether now or later, when you're tumbling to the ground, please don't pretend everything is fine. Don't avoid the confrontation. Don't think less of your faith. No. Lean into the struggle. Refuse to let go of Jesus so that he might have his way with you. Yes, my name is Wes Christie, but God has given me and each one of us a new name, and we had better embrace it. So call us God Wrestler. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you invite us into this sacred back and forth, this tumbling on the ground when life seems out of control, when we don't seem to have anything to hold on to. Thank you that you do not leave us, that you meet us, that you change us, that you do a work in us. Lord, meet us in this struggle and help us not to run from it, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.